The U.S. Navy identifies two pilots lost in a Super Hornet. USAPA is outraged over database abuse. And a controller who took an intentional nap will be fired by the FAA. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Friday, April 8, 2011. The U.S. Navy yesterday identified two pilots killed in the crash Wednesday of an F/A-18F Super Hornet in an agricultural area west of Naval Air Station Lemoore in California. CNN reports 33-year-old Lieutenant Matthew Ira Lowe of Plantation, Florida, earned the Navy Marine Corps Achievement Medal and the National Defense Service Medal during his career. 28-year-old Lieutenant Nathan Hollingsworth Williams of Oswego, New York, was a naval flight officer who managed the plane's weapons systems and had earned the Air Medal, Afghanistan Campaign Medal, Global War on Terrorism Service Medal, Sea Service Deployment Ribbon, and Pistol Marksmanship Medal. The Navy hasn't said whether they reported any trouble prior to impact. A review board is investigating. On behalf of pilots of U.S. Airways, the U.S. Airline Pilots Association has expressed outrage at the airline's acknowledgement that its management personnel aided in the unauthorized distribution of confidential personal data of thousands of pilots. USAPA says it's currently cooperating with a criminal investigation. The union says U.S. Airways recently admitted that a management pilot accessed a confidential database containing names, addresses, social security numbers, and possibly pilot passport information, and transferred it to a third-party pilot group, which has acted to disrupt the ongoing negotiations between USAPA and U.S. Airways. USAPA has pointed out the potential for such misuse of data to allow terrorists access to aircraft, and says it's been working with the FBI since November to determine the exact scope of the data breach. The union has also criticized the airline for failing to take action against the management personnel who took the data. When directly asked, FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt had to admit to Congress this week that the agency is aware of another air traffic controller who fell asleep on a graveyard shift. In response to the question from Iowa Republican Congressman Tom Latham, Babbitt acknowledged, quote, "Yes, sir, I'm disappointed to say, in our investigation, we did find another incident, and it was, unfortunately, willful," unquote. Unlike the controller at Reagan National Airport, who was unresponsive for about 24 minutes and admitted falling asleep on his fourth graveyard shift in a row, the new February 19th incident at McGee-Tyson Airport in Knoxville, Tennessee, appears to have involved an intentional nap for 5 hours. As reported by USA Today, the FAA says a controller working in a radar room responsible for guiding planes in a roughly 50-mile radius around the airport was unresponsive for 5 hours, while another controller working at the airport's tower was able to monitor the 7 aircraft that flew into the airspace during that time. All landed safely. The FAA has indicated it will seek to dismiss the controller involved at Knoxville. Doug Church of the National Air Traffic Controllers Association says the union will represent him. Quote, "Once again, we've got a midnight shift issue. Those are very concerning to us. We believe that staffing always needs to be what's looked at, here and at other facilities," unquote. I wonder, in light of the Knoxville incident, if all we do is add additional controllers on midnight shifts, will they just take turns taking naps? Up next on ANN, Virgin Atlantic is flying its first transatlantic twin jet. Pratt & Whitney gets a big order for its geared turbofan. And the first Airbus C-295 anti-submarine plane goes to Chile. You're listening to Aero News.
Piperjet.
Piper Match.
Global Expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/piperaircraft.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
The We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for April 8th. I'm Paul Plagg. For the first time in its history, Virgin Atlantic Airways has deployed a twin-engine jet to serve on a transatlantic route, something it formerly did using Boeing 747s and Airbus A340s. The airline says the inaugural A330-300 passenger flight between Manchester and Orlando is part of its commitment to invest in economical aircraft. The plane is the first to be delivered from the 10 A330-300s ordered in December of 2009. Julie Southern, Chief Commercial Officer for Virgin Atlantic, explains, quote, "We look forward to increasing services on existing routes, as well as adding new long-haul routes with these new planes, while improving our fuel efficiency," unquote. Virgin Atlantic's first two A330-300 aircraft will operate on leisure routes and will have a two-class configuration of 59 premium economy seats and 255 in economy. Airbus says the A330 family, which spans 200 to 400 seats for the passenger variants and also includes freighter, VIP, and military transport tanker variants, has now attracted more than 1,100 orders. The Chilean Navy has taken delivery of the first Airbus military C-295 to be delivered in its ASW, or anti-submarine warfare configuration. It's based on the maritime patrol configuration of the aircraft and is the first ASW type designed and certified in Europe to enter service since the 1960s vintage Breguet Atlantic. Airbus calls it a modern and risk-free choice to replace the veteran and aging P-3 Orion or Breguet Atlantic fleets. The new model is the latest variant of the C-295 family of multi-role aircraft launched in 1996 and is equipped with two underwing hardpoints to carry weapons or other stores and boasts a comprehensive suite of sensors, including a search radar, digital avionics that are compatible with night vision goggles, automatic identification system, acoustic system, and a magnetic anomaly detector. This C-295 ASW is part of a three-aircraft order placed by the Chilean Navy in October of 2007. The Indian airline IndiGo has chosen Pratt & Whitney's Pure Power P1100G to equip 150 Airbus A320neo aircraft it has on firm order. The deal is for 300 of the new engines, plus options for more. MTU Aero Engines, which has about a 15% stake in the geared turbofan engine, expects the deal to be worth about $425 million. In addition to being an option on the A320neo, the engine powers Bombardier's C-Series, Mitsubishi's MRJ, and Irkut's MS-21. Aspen Avionics is running a promotion offering $2,000 savings on the Evolution 2000 system. Normally listed at $17,990 U.S., the Evolution 2000 will be priced at $15,990 through April 30th. Features include fully redundant PFD functionality, high-resolution moving map, relative terrain awareness, and optional weather and traffic. Also standard is a built-in battery backup and emergency GPS. Check with an Aspen authorized dealer for more details. Still ahead, Amanda Franklin faces a very long road back. Airlines did a little better by customers in 2010. And Seawind Amphibian heads for production. You're listening to Aero News.
Now, another moment of freedom from Sirius Aircraft. Freedom through safety. Perhaps the ultimate freedom is confidence, assurance, and peace of mind. We design it into every personal aircraft we build. It's the security that comes with knowing you're flying the plane with a parachute. The breakthrough concept that launched the Cirrus phenomenon.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Friday, April 8th. I'm Paul Plagg. InFlight Technology tells ANN the company has decided to follow the lead of ASL Camgarden in donating a portion of its revenue to the Kyle and Amanda Franklin Recovery Fund. The company will donate $50 from every InFlight Cam GPS and InFlight Cam 1080p sold on its website between now and April 30th. InFlight Cam is a cockpit video solution that offers full 1080p resolution coupled to an internal GPS. It allows pilots to cue their recorded video based on location instead of time. No more fast-forwarding, just click on the map where you want to begin. The device also captures everything you hear in your headset. Following their March 12th forced landing accident during a wing-walking performance at Air Fiesta 2011 in Brownsville, Texas, and the fire that followed, Kyle Franklin has been updating us on the couple's recovery. His posts since March 29th, when he was released from the hospital, are all about his wife, who suffered third-degree burns over 70% of her body. Amanda has lost all fingers except her left thumb and was just able to make it through the day without a respirator for the first time on Monday of this week. She has at least months to go in her recovery. There are two assistance funds accepting donations to help the couple with overwhelming expenses. Find links to both of them at the top of their homepage at franklinairshow.com. According to the 21st Annual National Airline Quality Rating, 2010 became the third consecutive year in which the performance of the nation's leading carriers improved. AQR reports passengers are experiencing better performance by the airlines, even though it may cost more to fly. The rankings show that of the 16 carriers rated for performance in both 2009 and 2010, 9 airlines had improved AQR scores, and 7 airlines did worse in 2010. The top 3 in order were AirTran, Hawaiian, and JetBlue. Bringing up the rear were 4 regionals, with American Eagle in last place at 16th. United was the only legacy carrier in the bottom 5, in 12th place, but up from 13th last year. The biggest improvements were made by Delta, from 15th to 7th on the list, and Alaska, from 11th to 4th. AQR considers 4 major criteria. The industry as a whole improved in 3 of the 4, on-time performance, baggage handling, and bumpings. The 4th, customer complaints, is the only element in which performance by the industry as a whole declined. And finally today, it's understandable during a recession that if product news stops coming for a while, people tend to assume the worst. Well, the folks at SeaWind Amphibian want to make sure everyone knows they're alive and well, and have now put 2 important milestones behind them. The company says it completed flutter testing on March 24th, and the design configuration of the plane is now frozen. SeaWind's engineering staff has just completed the installation of a stall prevention system, which prevents spins as well. It was just 1 year ago that the SeaWind flew to Ottawa to begin flight testing. With the configuration set, SeaWind is looking to acquire funding to start assembling pre-production aircraft at its factory in Quebec. The company claims 50 orders so far. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, we ask 2 more questions of attendees at the U.S. Sport Aviation Expo in Sebring. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Enjoy your weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.